Now, just a word of welcome to everyone that's come tonight. It's good to see you, and we trust the Lord will bless you for coming. We do appreciate you making the effort to join us, and we trust that your visit to us will not be in vain, but we trust that you'll receive something for your eternal benefit, your spiritual blessing, as a result of being here tonight. Now, there'll be another meeting on Sunday night at 8 o'clock, and Sunday night will be the final night of this series of meetings here in Newcomnock. It's been a great joy to be here again. And Sunday night at 8 o'clock will be the final meeting, and we just give you a very warm invitation to that meeting. If you're free, we'd love to see you, and if you can encourage others to come at 8 o'clock on Sunday, then we would love to see them with us as well for the final meeting of this series. Now, I just want to read a verse from my Bible. It's in the book of Hebrews, and it's chapter number 7. And just to save time, I'll just read it. You don't need to really turn to it. Now consider how great this man. That's really a little verse for tonight. And we're really going to take it out of its context, which preachers oftentimes do. We take a wee bit of license at times. If you actually read the rest of this chapter, you'll discover that the writer was really speaking about a man called Melchizedek. Now, we're not going to get into the background of that man, but we're for the final meeting of this series. Now, I just want to read a verse from my Bible. It's in the book of Hebrews, and it's chapter number 7. And just to save time, I'll just read it. You don't need to really turn to it. Now consider how great this man. That's really a little verse for tonight, and we're really going to take it out of its context, which preachers oftentimes do. We take a wee bit of license at times. If you actually read the rest of this chapter, you'll discover that the writer was really speaking about a man called Melchizedek. Now, we're not going to get into the background of that man, but we're just really going to take the little expression and we're going to apply it to another man. And the man that we're going to apply it to is the greatest man that ever lived. And that man's name was Jesus. And so for the next half hour or so, we want us to consider how great this man is. We want us just to consider for a wee while tonight the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. Melchizedek was a great man. But I tell you, Melchizedek was superseded by this greater man, this man called Jesus. The world has seen many great men. Men in the world of politics, men in the world of sport, men in the world of human achievement and so many different aspects, whether it's medicine or commerce or politics, great men in the world. But you know, there is no man that can stand alongside the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. He is the greatest man, he's the greatest person in the whole of the universe. And there can be no greater object of our attention tonight than the person of the Lord Jesus. Let's consider tonight how great this man is. I wonder right at the start of our meeting, what do you think about this man? What do you think about this man? I used to go to a gospel hall in Kilmarnock when I was a child, and above the platform there was written these words, "What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ?" And every time I used to get into that hall, and I tell you, I was in it thousands of times, I used to look at that verse, and I used to ponder that. What think you of Christ? What do you think about him tonight? People out there in the streets in Newcomnock have got all sorts of different ideas about the Lord Jesus. Some people think he was just a great historical figure, just a great man that lived, that was able to do some wonderful things, but the Bible tells us he was the Son of God, he's the Saviour of sinners. He's the one that God sent to be your Saviour and mine. What do you think about him? Let's think of the greatness of the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that this man was a man who knew no sin. A man who knew no sin. That's amazing, isn't it? That there was a man in this earth. That he lived here for 33 and a half years. And during that period of time, he never knew a sin. Absolutely perfect. Pure. Holy. Sinless. Righteous. He knew no sin. The Bible tells us that even his enemies had to agree with that. And the man that scrutinized them just prior to his death, that Roman judge called Pilate, this was his judgment in relation to the Lord Jesus. He says, I find no fault in this man. No fault in him. This man has done nothing amiss, said another. Another said that he had betrayed innocent blood. The man that betrayed him with a kiss, the man called Judas, he says, this man is innocent. This man is pure. This man has done nothing wrong. And you read through the life of the Lord Jesus and you'll discover that men will bear testimony to the absolute perfection and the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. He's a man who knew no sin. But you know, not only did men testify to his sinlessness, but even demons testified to his holiness. And one day the Lord Jesus Christ met a man who was demon-possessed, and the demon that was inside the man, he cried out and he says, we know who you are, the Holy One of God. And the demons testified to the perfection and the holiness of this man. This man knew no sin. The Father in heaven testified concerning that. And God the Father opened heaven to declare that this man called Jesus, who was no less than the Son of God, that he brought the utmost delight to the heart of God. He was a man that had done nothing wrong. He was a man who was without sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ testified concerning that himself. And he says, the prince of this world cometh. And he says, he's got nothing in me, nothing in me. The Bible tells us that he did no sin. The Bible tells us that he knew no sin. The Bible tells us in him is no sin. The man that we're considering tonight, the man that we're presenting to you tonight, is the sinless, spotless Son of God, a man who knew no sin. Men hated him. Wonder why. Why did they hate him? Well, I think they hated him because he was an embarrassment to them. I think they hated him because his very presence in their midst exposed them for what they were. You see, as long as the Lord Jesus Christ was at a distance from him, they could just really live as they like, and it didn't really matter. But once the Lord Jesus Christ drew near, they suddenly realized they were in the presence of holiness, they were in the presence of perfection, and their own sin was exposed before him. The Lord Jesus says, the very fact that I have come means that men no longer have a cloak for their sin. Their sin has been exposed in the light of his perfection, his sinlessness, and men were embarrassed. You know, if the Lord Jesus was really to reveal himself to our hearts tonight, then we might be embarrassed because we would be exposed. There's not a sinless person in the meeting tonight. Not a sinless person in the world tonight. We're all sinners. And we like to hide our sin. And we like to gloss over our sin. And we like to justify our sin. But you see, when the Lord Jesus comes near, and when we stand in his presence, we discover that there's no justification for our sin. There's no hiding. There's no glossing over. We're just exposed as guilty, vile sinners before him. And that's where we are today. That's where we are. I know we're living in a sophisticated age, in a technological age, and an age of great intelligence and all the rest of it. But you know, the heart of man never changes. Men and women, as God looks on us, God looks on us as poor, needy, guilty sinners. And the man that we're considering is a man who knew no sin. But the Bible tells us that he was the man that was made sin. The Bible says that he was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says concerning this man that this man has made one offering for sin forever. And that was foreign to himself, sin, was the thing that he became. He became answerable to God on account of sin. That which was alien to his own being. The Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us. He was made a sin offering. He was made a sacrifice for sin. What that must have meant for him as he hung on that cross, because that's where he was made a sacrifice for sin. It was at Calvary. What that must have meant for him. When all the weight and guilt of a filthy, immoral world sin was all placed upon him. The awfulness of those hours of darkness when the Lord Jesus Christ stood in the gulf, stood in the gap between me and the Holy God. There I stood before God as a guilty, condemned sinner. And yet there is a sinless man, this great man. He stood in the breach between me and God. And he accepted the punishment that I deserve. The one that knew no sin was the one that was made sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the moment I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as a young boy of 9 years of age, it was as if the Lord Jesus took away all my sins and he replaced them with his absolute righteousness. And I stand accepted before a holy God tonight and all the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. All my sins are gone. He bore them all on the cross at Calvary. He knew the weight of them. He felt the punishment for them. He endured them on the cross at Calvary, the wrath of God against my sin. He endured at Calvary, and for me, they're gone tonight. And I stand before God, accepted in the beloved Son, clothed with garments of righteousness, clothed with garments of salvation. Because this man that knew no sin, was the man that was made sin for me. What a man. Man that was prepared to stand in the breach between sinners and God. A man that was prepared to take the place of the guilty. A man that was prepared to accept the judgment that should have been borne by you and by me. What a man. Is he no worthy of our trust? Is he no worthy of being accepted? Is he not worthy of being acknowledged as Lord and Saviour and King? Surely a man that loved us so much that he died for us. Surely a man like that is worthy of our trust. Are you trusting in Christ tonight? Have you thanked him? Have you bent your knee and thanked him for loving you? Have you bent the knee and thanked him for dying for you on the cross at Calvary and bearing your sins on his body on the tree? What a man. A man that knew no sin, and yet a man that became sin for us. The Bible tells us that he's the man that receives those that have sinned. This man, says the Bible, receives sinners and eats and drinks with them. There were those that looked at him and they took note of the company that he kept, and they says, this man's a friend of publicans, tax collectors. Sinners. I'm glad about that time, because I'm a sinner and Jesus is my friend. I wonder, is he your friend? This man, this perfect man, this sinless man, this man who knew no sin, is yet the very man that receives sinners to himself, and he communes with them. He has fellowship with them. He becomes the friend. Sometimes we sing a song, what a friend we have in Jesus. Do you know Jesus is your friend? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Is he your friend tonight? Do you have that personal relationship with the Lord? Do you know what it is to have fellowship with him, to commune with him, to talk with him, to walk with him day by day? That's the relationship that he longs to have with sinners, with you and with me. Oh, he hates our sin. He won't tolerate our sin. It was his sin, it was our sin that was the cause of his punishment, his agony, his sufferings at Calvary. So how can he love our sin? He hates it. But he loves us. And the Lord Jesus stretches out his hands, those nail-pierced hands. The one that knew no sin was the one that became sin, and he's the one that receives to himself those that have sinned. And the Lord Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you rest. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. I wonder, has there been that time in your life when you've come to Christ? You see, there's a sense in which he's come as close to us as he possibly can. He became lighter than everything apart from sin. He came from heaven right to earth where we are. And he went to that cross and he died for us. He's done all he can. And he simply gives the invitation and he appeals for men and women, sinners, just to come to him. Will you come to Christ? Listen to his promise tonight. He says, him that comes to me, I'll never cast out. I'll never turn them away. I'll never reject them. Maybe you're in the meeting tonight and maybe you've been rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ for years. Maybe the first time you heard the message about Jesus was when you were in the Sunday school a long, long time ago. And you rejected him. You thought you didn't need him. You thought you could live life without him. You thought that you would just do your own thing for a while and you would just see what the world had to offer and you would just pursue the pleasures that Satan was putting before you, and you really said no to the Lord Jesus as a little girl, a little boy in the Sunday school, and again as a teenager, and again as you got a bit older, you said no, no, no. You've rejected him so often. And the Lord Jesus says to you tonight, listen, if you come to me tonight, I'm not going to reject you. Doesn't he bear grudges? You know, we're like that, don't we? We bear grudges against people. And people do us a bad turn and we'll never forget it for the rest of our lives and we'll hold it against it. My friend, praise God for a friend that doesn't hold grudges. Doesn't he hold anything against us? And if we come to him, then doesn't matter how we've treated him in the past. We might have blasphemed his holy name. We might have denied him. We might have trampled underfoot his precious blood. We might have mocked him. And scorned his law and sinned and disobeyed and rebelled the whole of our life. And yet he says, listen, if you come to me, I'll receive you. Doesn't matter who you are to me. Doesn't matter what you've done. The Lord Jesus is the friend of sinners. He receives all that come. He says, come to me. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Will you come to the Saviour tonight? Just take him at his word. Just believe in him. He's promised that he'll never cast you out if you come. He never cast me out. And he never cast Saul of Tarsus out. No, when Saul of Tarsus was giving his testimony, he was telling about what the Lord Jesus had done in his life. He says, you know, he says, I'm the chiefest of all sinners. There was none worse than me. And yet when he came to the Lord Jesus didn't turn him away. You know what Saul of Tarsus had done? Saul of Tarsus had persecuted the Christian. He'd bound their hands and their feet and he'd thrown them into prison. And he'd stood and he'd watched men and women laying down their life for Christ, martyrdom. And yet when he came to the Lord Jesus received them. Maybe you've persecuted the Christians. Maybe there's a Christian in your family and you've given them a hard time for years. Maybe there's a Christian in your street or a Christian at your work and you've given them a hard time. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ is prepared to receive you. I know there's somebody here tonight, and you know when they were at school they used to persecute a Christian. And yet they're sitting here tonight, safe, and experiencing the same friendship with the Lord Jesus as that Christian that they used to persecute in the school. What a saviour. What wonderful grace and mercy is the Lord Jesus, the one that knew no sin, the one that was made sin for us in Calvary, died for our sin, and he received every sinner that just comes to him. Will you come tonight? Just as you are. Just as you are. The Bible tells us that he not only receives sinners, but the Bible tells us that he forgives sin. He forgives sin. And the early preacher says, through this man, consider how great this man is. Through this man, and no other man, there is preached unto us the forgiveness of sin. You know, there are many people tonight and they're living their lives with a heavy burden. Burden of guilt. Can I get rid of it? They look back over their life and they think of things they've done, and you know, they can't forgive themselves for what they've done, and they don't have the humility to go and ask for forgiveness for that which they've done against others, and they carry the weight and burden and the shame of their sin, the guilt of their sin. Maybe you're like that tonight. Maybe you're a bit like David the psalmist when he could say, my sin is always before me, I can't run away from it. But this great man that we're speaking about, this man called Jesus, he wants to forgive your sin tonight. He wants to take it all away. He wants to remove it as far as east is from the west. He wants to plunge it into the deepest sea. And he promises that if you come to him and confess your sin, then he'll not only cleanse it, but he says, I'll remember it no more. It'll be gone. It'll be dealt with. Finished. You know what it's like in our level, our human level. You know, somebody does a bad turn and they ask for forgiveness and we forgive them, and a month later we drag it back up and we cast it in their face again. The Lord Jesus says, listen, he says, the forgiveness that I offer men and women is nothing like that. He says, your sins will be gone. I'll not even remember them again. That's my promise, that I'll never remember them, I'll never cast them up again, I'll never throw them in your face, they'll be finished with forever, the whole slate wiped clean forevermore. Would you know like a forgiveness like that time? Because mind you, sins that are not forgiven will be sins that will be judged. We don't experience the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus while we're here and we die still with unforgiven sin, then we're going to be lost under God's judgment against that sin forever. That's serious, isn't it? That our sin's taking us to hell. That our sin's taking us ultimately to the lake of fire. Our sin will bring us under the wrath and judgment of God forever. And yet we don't need to experience that, because here's a man that's prepared to forgive our sins. You say, how can I get that forgiveness? By confessing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. That's how we can have it. That's how you can have it tonight. Your sins can be gone in a split second when you come to God and confess it. And God's not asking you to confess every single sin that you've ever committed since you were born. But God's wanting you to confess that you're a poor, guilty, needy sinner. And the minute you come to the Lord, and you come to God and confess that you're a sinner and you're guilty, and that you deserve the judgment that you're under, and you ask for His mercy and forgiveness, then He'll respond. And that precious blood that Jesus shed in Calvary, that blood will cleanse away your sin forever. There was a verse quoted in the prayer meeting earlier on tonight. It's found in the Psalms, and it's found again in the book of Romans, and it talks about blessed or happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Would that not be wonderful just to know that your sins are all gone, that God's never going to remember them again, that they're finished, and you'll never experience the judgment that you deserve for them, that it's gone forever? Well, that forgiveness is through this man. And this man, what a man. A man who knew no sin. A man who was made sin for us. A man that receives those that have sin. A man that forgives sin. But sadly, he's a man that was rejected by sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ was presented before the crowd. And we looked at that last night, and we thought of the words of Pilate as he brought the Lord Jesus forth, and he says, "Behold the man. Behold the man." And the crowd says, "Away with him. Away with this man. We don't want this man to reign over us. We don't want this man." He was rejected by sinners. And sadly, there are many, and you come not tonight, and there are many across East Ayrshire and across our country, and they're still rejecting Christ. They're still saying no to Jesus. But I'm not really concerned about the people in the streets of Newcomnock. I'm concerned about the people in the hall tonight. What are you going to do with this man? What are you going to do with Jesus tonight? There's none greater than him. He stands in all his superior glory and greatness and beauty and loveliness above all other men. He's no less than God's Son. And yet he stepped into time to be your Saviour. He died on that cross to take away your sins. He lives exultant, triumphant in glory, able to save all that come to him. Tonight he pleads with you. He promises, "You come in all your need. I'll never turn you away. I'll forgive you completely." But what are you going to do with him tonight? Are you going to come to him? Are you going to receive him? Are you going to acknowledge him as your Saviour and your Lord? Or I wonder, are you going to reject him tonight? You've maybe done it before. Will you do it again? Will you leave the meeting without Christ? Will you say no to the only Saviour of sinners? You turn your back. My friend, turn your back on him. It won't change his attitude towards you. He'll still love you. But if you die still refusing to accept him, then God will have no option. No option at all. No option. But to send you plunging into a lost eternity. If you find yourself in hell, you don't have a preacher to blame. I was reading this morning, way back in the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, and God said to the prophet Ezekiel, he says, "Warn them from me," and he says, "You warn them," and he says, "You're clear of the blood of all men. You fail to warn them, and their blood will be in your hands. I've warned you tonight. I'm clear. I'm in the clear before God tonight. So you can't blame me if you're in hell. You can't blame the people that invited you. And you can't blame the Lord Jesus, and you can't blame God. If you find yourself in hell, you've only yourself to blame. Nobody else. Nobody else but you. Consider how great this man. Consider Christ tonight. He's the one that's the Saviour. He knew no sin. He was made sin. And he receives all those that have sinned. And he forgives their sin completely
But will you receive him? Will you come tonight and put your faith in the Lord Jesus, confessing your sins and accepting that cleansing which he's made available by the shedding of his precious blood in Christ? Remember, it's nothing to do with the preacher tonight. It's to do with Jesus. What will you do with him tonight? Will you receive him just where you are? Will you just say, Jesus, I'll trust you. I'll trust you with my soul. I'm guilty, I'm lost, and I'm helpless. But you can make me whole. You can, you know. Trust him tonight. And make that greatest decision that you'll never, ever, ever regret. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we just thank thee for the great plan of salvation. We thank thee, Father, for the love that drew salvation's plan, for the grace that brought it down to man. We thank thee for the mighty gulf that thou didst span at Calvary. We praise thee, O God, that there's a way back to thyself from the dark past of sin that's there at the cross that we must begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. We thank thee, O God, there's a way that has been opened up. We thank thee there's a full and a free forgiveness, a full and free acceptance for men and women before thee in the person of the Lord Jesus. And we pray, O God, that as the message has been preached tonight, that any that are with us still unsaved, unreconciled to thee, that they would really be wrought upon by thy Spirit, and that it would be caused tonight to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he's near. So we pray for a parting blessing as we give thanks again for all thy grace and mercy displayed in Christ in his own precious name. Now we'll just sing a verse of a hymn. It's hymn number 280. We'll just sing verse 3 of this hymn. Trusting only in thy merits, would I seek thy face, heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Saviour, Saviour, hear my humble cry, while in others thou art calling, do not pass me by. So hymn number 280, verse 3 in the chorus is our final hymn. And we just thank you again for coming. If you want to speak about any of these issues privately, then we'll be quite happy to speak to you after the meeting's over. We can't save you, but we can tell you more about the wonderful one that can, the greatness, the great person of our Lord Jesus. So we'll just remain seated and sing that verse 3 of hymn 280, and then the meeting's over.